Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. My guest, Bill Schultz, back with us. He's executive director of the Miracle League of Dane County. It's a baseball program for kids with disabilities. And we're going to talk with him about the organization, how the first season went here in Dane County. And love to have you join in. Maybe you have a question about building a field like this in your area. Maybe you've participated in the program. Maybe have children who have participated. I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Bill Schultz, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Well, it's great to be back, Larry.
I tell you what, maybe to start, we should just go back to the basics. Tell us what the Miracle League is and how you got involved in it.
Well, the Miracle League is a specialized baseball program for children with disabilities, both cognitive and physical. The children play on a rubberized synthetic field, which allows kids with wheelchairs, walkers, mobility issues to maneuver. And beside them at all times on the field, we have volunteers called buddies who help them hit the ball, field the ball, run the bases, and score a run. And it's just a great – it's a little league-sized field. We have walk-in dugouts, so the kids with wheelchairs and walkers can experience that. We have a video board which shows the pictures of the kids as they come up to bat. We asked them what their favorite song was. So as they came up to bat, we played their favorite song. And we also had some live video during their at-bat during the game, which was just a fabulous experience, I think, for the kids as well as for the parents.
Go ahead.
And the reason I got into it was I grew up with a disability and was not allowed to play baseball, Little League baseball, after trying out and being told what a great tryout I had. And that was kind of devastating for me. And when I heard about the Miracle League concept 3 years ago through a newscast, I looked at my wife, who saw me kind of tearing up, and I said, you know, I could really get passionate about this. I wonder if they have one here in Madison. And it's a national organization, Larry, where there's 300 of these fields around the country. And I called the national headquarters and said, do you have a field like this in Madison? They said, no, we do have six fields in Wisconsin, but no one in Madison. I said, well, you might have found your guy. And that's how it all started.
And, you know, I think we have an idea of who's eligible to participate, but for the Madison one, is it Dane County residents or can others?
It's we call it Miracle League of Dane County because we want to make sure everyone felt they could be involved besides living in Madison. And we actually have kids from outside the county, so there's really no limits. We actually have had a player from Muskego over in the Milwaukee area come over and play.
Oh, that's great. I think the whole process of getting a field built in Dane County was an interesting one. You were with me back a few years back. We were talking about the process, and what was it like for you?
Well, it was up and down, but mostly up. But we had to raise over $500,000 to build the field, and going through COVID, when that hit, we only had $100,000. And I thought, well, we'll postpone this to 2022 and keep working. Well, an anonymous couple came forward who heard about what we were doing and the purpose and mission of our field and gave us a matching gift, which spurred many people to begin thinking about giving to our purpose and mission. I think people were looking for things that were positive during the COVID period, and this kind of struck the hearts of many people. And by the end of October, miraculously, we had met our goal in order to do the first part of the construction in the fall and finish it off in the spring of this year.
That's an amazing story.
It is.
It's pretty cool. You know, I lived in the Cottage Grove area and went to Cottage Grove grade school.
Okay.
So I'm really familiar. And the field is located right there at Cottage Grove. It's
in Bakken Park in Cottage Grove. And I have to really tip my cap to the village of Cottage Grove, and particularly Sean Brusiger of the Parks and Recs Department, who heard about us in a meeting. I had a meeting of all the Parks and Recs superintendents in Dane County. And the day after, Sean called me and said, you know, we're expanding Bakken Park. And the square footage you said you needed, I think we can move things around and do it. And the village board got behind it. And so they've provided us land for $1 a year lease, which was absolutely incredible.
It really is. And how many youngsters took part for this year?
Well, this was a great story. We expected 50. The national office said, you'll probably get 40 to 50 kids. We had 96 kids play this past season. Eight kids on eight teams, or 12 kids a team. And we also had 170 volunteers step forward to help in the program. And if you came out to a game, the thing that really got to me was I kept watching the parents in the bleachers, and the joy in their faces and the tears coming down, just seeing their kids experience joy and laughter. It just was an incredible impact on them, as well as people who came out from the community to watch.
Yeah. And I want to go back to that 3 years ago when you were on the show. Fast forward quick to the announcer for the first game of the year said that she was on my show and met you or whoever else was there with you. I forgot now. Anyway, she...
Yeah, we were sitting in the lobby waiting to go on your show, Bonnie Olson, and we were talking and chatting and found out that she announces the Badger volleyball games. And when she heard about it, she said, wow, you know, call me when you get close to starting. And I did. And she said, when do I start? And so that was very fortuitous, Larry.
Well, it was a great thing. Our guest, Bill Schultz, executive director of the Miracle League of Dane County. Questions, are you a part of that? Did you participate? Your children participated, and maybe you were a volunteer. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And as you mentioned, Bill, this is a kind of a national organization. I imagine there may be some kind of certification or different rules and so forth that you had to develop or work with them about in order to be called a Miracle League.
Well, it's an association. We have to pay an annual fee, which isn't very much to be part of the organization. But what they really did was they gave us a manual that was about 8 inches tall, with everything from construction to uniforms to the kind of things that you had to buy, to the specifications for the field, the dugouts, and so forth. So they kind of gave us a roadmap, but we had to individually finance and individually run the field. But they were a great help. All the effort that was put forth to build this field was local, including local contractors, local service organizations.
So they, and I'm sure they did it at a good price or a cost, or maybe even free some of it.
Well, they certainly helped us in that regard. We knew they needed to make a profit, but a lot of them, you know, heard our purpose and mission and really gave us very nice consideration for that.
Oh, man. So how did the season go?
It was wonderful. I still remember opening night, watching the kids go up to bat and play. And I'm German, Larry. I don't cry, but I cried that night for we have two games a night on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I just teared up watching these kids get up to bat, hit a ball off a tee or be pitched to. And what I really liked was I just watched their faces, the determination on their faces to try and to, you know, hit the ball or run. And then the joy that came over their faces when they hit the ball, even if it was 5 inches or 5 feet or what have you. I mean, I relate to that myself, because when I was a kid, I was always kind of, people chuckled when I wanted to play baseball or backyard basketball or whatever. And they said, well, come on. And the kids would chuckle. But then, you know, when I started hitting the ball, I was, you know, I had a bigger smile on the field, and they saw the determination that I was not going to quit. And I saw these kids, for most part, I'd say 75% of the kids had never played the game of baseball or who had been exposed to it. So, you know, week one, they were having all kinds of trouble hitting the ball. By week five, they were hitting the ball pretty well and really building confidence and just enjoying themselves. It was just, it's just one of those performance. It's kind of a, you know, those moments in your life that just make you feel awfully good, Larry.
Yeah. Bill Schultz, our guest today, Executive Director of the Miracle League of Dane County. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Tyler Dinner, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking with Bill Schultz, Executive Director of the Miracle League of Dane County. He's been long active in his community as a Little League coach and ministry leader in his church, motivational and inspirational speaker on topics of encouragement and overcoming obstacles. And he and a bunch of people overcame about 500,000 obstacles. It cost about $500,000 to get the Miracle League field built and up and running. And it is now doing that. And they've had a wonderful season. Questions for him. I hope you'll join in. Do you have questions about it, or were you involved in it in one way or another? Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Somebody was wondering about the special, what's special about the field itself, and kind of how is it set up for kids of all these other abilities?
Yeah, again, it's a rubberized field. It's got a little bit of a cushion to it, but it's hard enough for wheelchairs and walkers to be able to move quite easily. In addition, it's all one level. So there's the bases, for example, they don't stick up. The bases are pretty much painted on the surface itself. And then you've got the walk-in dugouts that allow kids to, with wheelchairs, walkers, or any other issues, to be able to walk in and out of a dugout, experience that, sit in the dugout with their teammates. We use foam bats so that, you know, nobody gets hit with it, or we use a special foam ball. And again, a volunteer is at their side, whether they're hitting, running, or in the field, catching balls, that sort of thing. The field itself is about littler size than a Little League field. And it's funny, we had a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old hit the ball over the fence, which was, people just, just went, oh my gosh. I mean, one boy who, you know, Down syndrome, which has a, they have a little bit more capability or whatever, but he really clocked one over center field, and I've never seen a kid so happy. And he took about 5 minutes to go around the bases.
and the volunteers themselves do the, I'm wondering the, you know, the philosophy about this. If you, let's say you're a parent, would you volunteer with your own child, or is it better to have someone else be a volunteer for a child so that the child's working with somebody else other than mom or dad?
Well, our philosophy was that we wanted the parents to be in the stands, in the bleachers, enjoying their child play the game of baseball. And so unless there are extenuating circumstances, we did not allow them to be on the field and had volunteers from the community, you know, help their child. And I think that that was the, definitely the best thing to do, because parents told me how much they enjoyed just taking a deep breath, relaxing, and just watching their kids enjoy themselves. So we want to stick to that philosophy of, you know, telling the parents, you just need to go in the bleachers, relax, and enjoy it, and watch your child play.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad it was done that way. I think that's the way to do it. Here's another listener emailing in, probably joined us late, asking, are there teams and coaches and you know, things of that nature? There are teams and coaches, of course.
Yeah, there's 12 children on a team. We have a coach and at least two assistant coaches that kind of are in the dugout helping the kids. If there's any, with an autistic child, for example, the noise can get to them, or there's just a lot of movement going on, and they're responsible for kind of being the bench coach. And then we've got a coach out. Every child is being asked if they want to be pitched to, or if they want to hit off a tee. So if they want to be pitched to, the coach will pitch to them underhand. So it's definitely organized just like a baseball game, where you've got coaches, assistant coaches, you know, with the kids.
Yeah. So what's your favorite moment or favorite moments maybe from the season?
I gotta say it's opening night when I saw the league come to reality, and I was out of breath thinking, what did we just do? I mean, did this really happen? And I was so appreciative of everybody that worked on it. And there were people there that work with me on this. And we just, I think all of us just had such a wonderful feeling that this league became a reality.
Now, the how many games were played this season? And, well, talk about that first.
Yeah, each team was scheduled to play 8 games. We played two games every Tuesday night and every Wednesday night. And the nice thing, we set it up so teams played on a specific night, which really helped the parents as far as scheduling goes. And it was a 2-inning game. And so we play 8 weeks. One night we got rained out from mid-June to end of July. Next year we're going to start earlier, the first week of June to the end of July. And some parents have even asked us whether we might organize a fall league. We're not sure about that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm wondering about, I'm sure the response, or maybe talk about the kind of responses you got from parents whose kids were playing.
The responses came throughout the game. As games ended, parents would come up to me or some of the people on staff and just tell me how thrilled they were, but also how the comments that their kids were telling them on the way home or when they got home. One boy was in the market with his dad a couple of weeks after the season started, and he looked up at his dad. He says, "You know what I did? I said, I hit a ball." and I scored a run, and it came out of nowhere. It's those kind of things that, as an example of what parents told us, there was one boy, they had to walk by a splash pad to get to our field. And this one boy, for the first week or so, wanted to go to the splash pad instead of playing baseball. Well, by the third week, it flipped. He just ran by the splash pad and said, I want to play baseball. So we had that challenge on our hands, too.
What were the costs for the parents themselves? I mean, you had uniforms, there's a league and so forth. I imagine there's some costs involved for the parents.
Yeah, it was $45 per child. But we also had scholarship money. But we also learned from Dane County that they had some programs for children that were going through special programs where the Dane County actually picked up the cost of the of their participation. So we didn't turn anybody away. And, you know, again, if there was a financial problem, we absorbed it.
Oh, man, that is great. And I could expect that families with at least some of the youngsters, there would be a high medical costs and other things associated and probably not everybody would have had had the $45.
That's right.
Yeah.
We even had one family that didn't have a car, and her child was enrolled in a Dane County program, and the county picked up the cab fares so that child could come and go and play baseball.
Oh man, Mel in Manitowoc was wondering if there are where are the leagues elsewhere in Wisconsin. Do you know where they are?
Yeah, Green Bay, which happened to be underwritten by Brett Favre and his wife, Appleton, Oconomowoc, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Eau Claire, and La Crosse. Those are the ones that I know of.
So those, as I think about where those are all located, they're pretty much, well, they're spread across the state pretty well. There's probably some open areas there where people might not have a chance or would have to travel ways to participate.
Yeah, and when I first started talking to the Green Bay Appleton programs, they said, Bill, distance will not be a deterrent. If parents hear about this organization, distance will not be a deterrent. In fact, the Appleton League had kids coming from 60, 70 miles away from the West. I mean, we mentioned one person in our league coming from Muskego, and all the leagues told us that don't be too concerned about the location of your field. Because initially we were looking at something a little bit more centralized. But with Cottage Grove and the Forest actually inquired about us going into one of their parks, we were concerned about that. But the other league said, Bill, don't let that hold you back.
It's absolutely amazing. Opportunities for volunteers, you know, what was a typical volunteer responsibility and so forth and duty and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Well, the main one was what these buddies that work with the kids when they played, and they were assigned a child, and optimally they would be with that child for every one of their games, but typically we had kind of a backup for the kids. The thing with autistic children was they do not like change. And so we made sure that there was at most two different people that were their buddy. And so they, you know, they signed up to be assigned with one child one night a week. We also had people who did game announcing, video work, programs, social media, equipment, a number of things, game supervisors. We always had we had umpires that were mostly retired guys that got a real kick out of it. So they felt their oats out there on the field. I think our I think our youngest umpire was 70 years old. So,
But they didn't have to call. They didn't have to call anybody out. How does that work? I mean, does a person make an out, or do they? How does that all work?
No, what they did was they kept the pace of the game going, making sure that the next batter was coming up. But when a runner crossed home plate, he would go safe. You know, and so that was pretty good. Yeah.
Oh man. So looking ahead, you mentioned this is going to go forward, and I'm wondering about what is the potential. You know, your main cost, your $500,000, that's paid for, but I imagine there's going to be ongoing costs, and how do you look to finance and so forth down the road?
Well, yeah, our annual operating costs are about $50,000. The anonymous couple I mentioned to you also gave us a gift towards operating expenses, so we're covered for next year. But what we want to do is stay ahead of the curve. So we'll start doing some more fundraising here very shortly to work on operating expenses. We also have to put money aside every year for. The field itself has about a 10 or 11 year life. So at the end of 10 or 11 years, that field has to be replaced. And the field cost about the rubberized surface and the install cost about $140,000. So we're putting about $10,000 a year down in a reserve fund for that as well. So sustaining the league is certainly very important. And we don't want to get into a situation where we're scratching for the next year's operating expenses.
I hope you've got somebody. I mean, you're going to be in this for the long haul, but have you got a reserve head that can take over if you are for whatever reason can't do it anymore?
Yeah, we have some young baseball fan guys that have helped me immensely. And they also live in Cottage Grove, and they really caught the vision of what we're trying to do here. So I think we're going to we're trying to build up a farm system of leadership, as you put it away.
I like that planning, and I'm wondering now. Of course, you had some anonymous donors, and you can't talk about who that was, but were some of those anonymous donors able to come and see any of the games and have a chance to talk to you?
They did. I didn't get to talk to them because they didn't want to. They just kind of came and went and talked to them afterwards. We also had people who did donate who were known that came up to me and said, "Bill, we're so happy that we invested in this program." And that included not only companies, but foundations and individuals.
Oh, man. So I hadn't even thought about that, but foundations and companies could really play a role. How does someone, if somebody's interested in learning more about the Miracle League of Dane County, maybe helping out in one way or either financially or volunteering or just to learn more about it, where do they go?
We have a website. It's DaneCountyMiracleLeague.org. So DaneCountyMiracleLeague.org. And there are pages on there that include player registration, volunteer registration, news articles, and also photos of our field, which were done by a drone shot, which really was incredible.
It does indeed. Give it once more. We can post it up on our page as well. But what's that address again?
DaneCountyMiracleLeague.org. DaneCountyMiracleLeague.org.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Makes me feel good and almost makes me tear up when I listen to some of the story here. I'm going to have to get out. I did not get to a game. But next year, you'll find me. I'll come walking up to you and shake your hand, and we'll talk baseball. How's that?
Well, if you want to umpire, Larry, I got an opening for you.
Okay. Bill Schultz. Bill, thank you so much. Bill Schultz, Executive Director of the Miracle League of Dane County. So inspiring. He's done some wonderful work. And not only Bill, but a lot of people have done some wonderful work getting the Miracle League going.